We're standing on the edge of another year, and there was 2020. You remember that year? And then there was 2021. Then there was 2022. And now we're about to enter into 2023. I would say over the last 3 years, beginning in 20, it seemed like everything just got turned upside down. A lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment. The church went through something we've never gone through before and experienced some things that we never experienced. But one thing we found out, God's grace was sufficient for every need along the way. I was telling somebody the other day, I've never done so many funerals in my life as I have in the last 3 years. I think it seems that way anyway. And yet, many times things are hard and difficult, but God is still on the throne. God's still able to meet and supply every need we have. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 3. When I think about ending one year and starting another year, my mind is brought to this one verse, and I'm going to be sharing the many verses in that chapter, but we're just going to read one verse to get started today. But I think about how we're starting out, and we're venturing into a place that we've never been before. And that's what I want to speak on today, is we've never been this way before. Truly today began a new era, began another year. Today I know there'll be many things made, resolutions that'll be made of what they're going to do, commitments and how they're going to do. I hope one of them will be to read the Bible through. But the fact of it is today, the most important thing is to know that we've been saved by the grace of God. If you have God on your side, everything will be all right. If He's not on your side, there could be more trouble along the way. But I'm glad today that we can come together on this first day. Last week, we celebrated Christmas on Sunday and had a great crowd. Appreciate all those who were able to come out and be with us. And we had a good time. And the Lord blessed. And I told the congregation, I said, from what somebody told me, and I looked it up, I Googled it, so I know it's a fact. I Googled it, and it said the next time that Christmas will fall on Sunday will be 2033, 11 years. And I read and understand that it falls in cycles of 6 years and 11 years. And so I was grateful. We enjoyed being able to worship the Lord's house on Sunday, Christmas Day. We had a great time Sunday morning and evening. The kids did a wonderful program on that night. And I'm grateful, but I'm just as grateful to be here on the first day of the year preaching the Word of God. Very seldom do we find that it falls on Sunday, but this time it fell right on Sunday, for which I am grateful. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. I'll pick up the rest of the context. Don't feel like I'm taking it out of context because we're going to go back and look at it. But I want you to look with me in verse number 4. He said, yet there shall be a space between you and it. The it is talking about the ark that they're carrying. But he said, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. That's where I got the title, We've Never Been This Way Before. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege to be in the house of God on the first day of 2023. Lord, help us this year to be faithful. I pray, Lord, for all of our healths. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep us safe. Lord, keep us from physical sickness, if it be your will. But we just ask, Lord, that you'd guide and direct in our life. Lord, just have your will and way. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of those that are here this morning. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Now, if you would hold your finger there at this place, we'll be going back to chapter 3 and looking at several verses of Scripture. But what we find in this passage of Scripture, Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of you may feel like sometimes you're in the wilderness, but they had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're about to cross over Jordan, and they're going into the promised land. And as they were about to go into this new land, there was some uncertainty in their mind about what they would encounter along the way. Their future, they did not know the hidden opposition that might be there. And friend, I can assure you today that there will be opposition in our life in 2023. And we need to be prepared to accept it. We need to be prepared to trust God, have faith in God to meet and supply the needs that we have. They didn't know as they left going the forces of those that might be hidden in the mountains as they traveled along. Kind of reminds me, I hear a lot about Mexico and from our missionaries Oftentimes they venture out in Mexico to go to another village or somewhere, and there'll be roadblocks. And these criminals, terrorists, whatever they are, they'll stop them and rob them and sometimes even kill them. And they never know. I've heard the missionaries say, we never know what's hidden in the hills. And likewise, this was probably what the children of Israel was experiencing along the way. And then on top of that, they didn't know how hard the path was going to be that they were about to go. They didn't know anything they might encounter along the way. So Joshua's officers were saying to the Israelites, you're about to take a journey to where you've never been before. You're fixing to go somewhere. You're about to travel down a road that's all new to you. You're going to travel along in strange territory. You're not going to be familiar with it. And there might be some difficulty along the way. And I believe that's the principle for us today as we stand, as we begin a new year. I know it's not anything like what it was with the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness for 40 years and crossing the Jordan. But yet, every year, I believe, is a challenge to where we must trust God and understand that God is in control, but be prepared for anything. You and I do not know what's going to happen this year. I mentioned a while ago having so many funerals. There's many that are not here with us today that was here with us last year about this time. We're not going to know about our gains or losses. We're not going to know about our joys or our sorrows. And what's awaiting for us? It may be death. It may be disease. Could be a disaster. And yet we need to understand today that God will supply every need that we have if we'll put our trust in Him. I believe, and I hate to be I'm not being a pessimist, I'm going to be an optimist. And the reason I'm an optimist, because I got God on my side. And long as I'm trusting the Lord, walking in His will, doing His word, friend, He'll never let anything happen to me that He will not allow to happen for a reason and a purpose in my life. And even bad things sometimes that happen to us happen in order that God may teach us the things. I believe that I'm probably was not a very good student. I know I wasn't in elementary school. I went to Bible college, and I was a little bit better because I was paying for it, and I saw the importance of it, and plus I wanted to learn the Bible. Wasn't a good student there. Maybe I haven't been such a good student even as I lived my life. Maybe I've not listened to God and been obedient to God. He's had to chasten me a few times. I've had to go through some things that I probably would not have had to gone through had I not strayed off the path and went in a direction which I should not have went. And so God has given to all of us, I believe, four thoughts this morning, dependable guidelines for traveling in a strange country in order that we might live a victorious Christian life. Friend, I'm telling you, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I got saved and the day that I became a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm glad today that He stuck by me through all these years, and I'm glad that He's my friend. And I'm thankful today that we can live victorious in Him. I wouldn't trade, the songwriter said, I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey now. I tell you, I would not, I have no regrets. Oh, I've got regrets about me personally, but I have no regrets about what God called me to do some 45 years ago, called me into the ministry, and I've been pastor now for 42 years, been in the ministry for about 45 years, and I tell you honestly, I mean it, as the song says, I wouldn't take nothing. I'm glad God called me, I'm glad that He put me in the ministry and allowed me to be a part of His life. Now, I want you to go back and look with me at verse 3 and 4, and I'm going to read again what's about to take place. As the captains and the leaders, the officers, was about to give the commandment to the people. And I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 again to get it into the context. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits per measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is we must remain in God's presence. The ark literally was a symbol of the presence of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But to the Israelites, the ark symbolized the presence of God. It's quite interesting, and we see that they were to follow that as He commanded them. He gave them the instructions that they needed in order that they might follow. But I think it's interesting to note what was the ark and what was in the ark, or in the ark that was carried. And the ark had within it, the ark that they carried, the covenant, the ark of the covenant that they carried, it had three things. The first thing was two tablets, which was the stone which the Ten Commandments was written on, written by God's hand. I believe today the Ten Commandments is not what saves us. We don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. We don't get to heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments, but I can tell you this, the commandments has taught us the things that we need to do, how we ought to live, and how we ought to put our faith in God and trust Him to meet our needs along the way. I think the Ten Commandments show us our need of a Savior. I'm thankful today that somebody told me that I needed a Savior. Think of the song. All these songs are coming to me, but oh, what a Savior. I tell you today, I remember back as a 10-year-old boy when I walked down an aisle and the preacher took the Bible, showed me from the Word of God how to be saved. What a glorious day that was. And somebody showed me, and I'm thankful today that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad today that one day I'm going to dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. But not only was the Ten Commandments to show us salvation, but it was a blueprint for the Christian life. Somebody said, well, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Of course I do. Do you believe that they're what's going to get us heaven? No, I don't. Because there's nothing we can do to get to heaven except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. However, all the Ten Commandments align things in our life that will help us live and be what we need to be and help us live a glorious Christian life in the Lord's service. Second of all, there was a supernatural preserved pot of manna. You remember when they were in the wilderness, God provided manna for them to eat. Now, we do remember while they were in the wilderness, they did complain. I guess that's just common everywhere. You'll find complaining along the way. Manna probably was not the most tastiest thing. I don't know. It might have been really good. But if you're hungry, it would have been better than you thought. But what did the manna, what was that to remind them of? The Ten Commandments to remind them of the need of a Savior and to remind us of the blueprint for the Christian life. The pot of manna reminded them that God is the only one that can satisfy their needs. Friend, when they were in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, the only way they had anything to eat was when God allowed them to have it. When they had anything to drink, it was only when God provided the need. I remember reading one time, and I don't have all the statistics before me, but I remember reading one time about when God fed them in the wilderness, how many boxcar loads of manna it would have took, and it would have been a train, you know, just miles long. But yet it was all because of the Lord providing their every need. The Bible said in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I know today we like physical food, and we'll probably be enjoying some black-eyed peas and hog chow today or whatever it is that we get during the holiday season, the New Year's Day. But the truth is today, Jesus, out of all things, physically, He will supply our needs, but spiritually, He's all we need, and He supplies our needs along the way. I don't know if you noticed, but I commend them for it, but Flowers Baking Company had a flashing sign over on 84 as you headed toward Valdosta, and they had a little Miss Sunbeam there holding some bread, and it said, I am the bread of life. It was not referring to little Miss Sunbeam. It was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today that people still put that up and recognize it. So we had the Ten Commandments. They were in the ark. We had the pot of manna, as I said, supernaturally preserved, no doubt. And then there was Aaron's budding rod. This does remind the people of the miracle-working God. Nothing is impossible with God. Friend, I don't care how hard your problem is, God is able to solve your problem. He's able to meet your need if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. So it reminded them. And so what He was trying to do to the people was remind them, you need to keep your eyes on the ark. As we follow, as we go along, keep your eyes on the ark. And I'm grateful today. But He told them something strange in verse 4. He said, there shall be a space between you, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. As we look at this, why the space? God wanted the ark to be clearly visible to everybody that was traveling in that company. Ah, the crowd, you can only imagine how many of them there were. They were thick as they moved their way through. And if they would have all got up right behind the ark, guess who would have saw the ark? Maybe the first two rows or the first three rows. But the people in the back would have never been able to see it. So God commanded them and gave them the instructions of what to do. He said, I want you, don't get up on it, but you stay back. when you're back, and I think from what I figured, they was carrying it about a half a mile ahead of the first group of people. And even at a half a mile, you might not have been able to see clearly. I don't know, their eyes might have been better, and God could make their eyes whatever they needed. But yet, as they would go down in the valleys and come up the hills, the people would be able to keep their eyes upon the ark. That way, nobody would be there spacing it out where he was not able to be seen. And so this would be visible to the whole multitude. We're not to follow people, by the way. We're to follow the Lord. And even though these people were following the multitude of Israelites, they knew that they could still see the ark. They did not take their eyes off the ark to look at the people. And friend, as we enter into 2023, can I remind you today, there's one thing we need to understand. We need to realize that we don't need to look at people around about us. We don't judge ourselves by what they do. We live the best we can according to the Word of God, according to the will of God. We read, we pray, we glorify God in our lives and all that we do, and He'll take care of our needs. Several years ago, there was a Methodist minister by the name of Harold Bosley. He told his students one day at the University of Chicago, this was back in the 1930s, he said to some fellow students that he was going to a conference on the north side of Chicago. It was a black church that was hosting the conference, and they went there. There was a conference, said there was four people that were speaking at that conference. One of the speakers that day was an attorney by the name of Clarence Darrah. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you, but he was the defending attorney in the Scopes trial in Dayton, Tennessee, years ago. Those were dark days that he was there and he was speaking. It was difficult days. The Great Depression of America had taken place. People were desperate in their needs but couldn't find jobs. There was despair throughout all the land. But all the people, and even many people in that black church, were suffering greatly because of the Depression and all that was going on. When Clarence Darrah rose to speak, he began to talk about the issues. He began to talk about the hard times. He began to tell the blacks that what they were experiencing, how difficult they were. And then he made a strange remark. He said, "But I don't understand it." He said, "I've listened to y'all sing today, and I don't know how you sing that. How do you have anything to sing about? And amid the woes of life, how can you sing? What in the world can you sing? How can you sing in the face of all the difficulty you're going through?" Quickly, a woman in the front row stood up, and she cried out, and she says, "Why do we sing? And who do we sing to?" And she said, "Jesus." And everybody in the crowd said, "Amen and amen." The songwriter penned these words: "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I'm grateful today. If we keep our eyes on Jesus in 2023, I promise you everything will be all right. You said, "Well, death may come." Well, if you're saved, like I said, keep your eyes on Jesus, everything will be all right. I know none of us desire death. We don't look for death, and it's something we don't even like to talk about. But death surely is coming to all. The Bible has warned us that. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then second of all, not only should we remain in God's presence, but we need to rely on God's power. Go back with me and look at verse number 15 of chapter 3. Well, look at chapter 3, verse 5 first. "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I've got that underlined in my Bible. I don't know when I underlined it, but I tell you, it spoke to my heart. I guarantee you when it did. I tell you today, I'm looking for the Lord to do wonders tomorrow and next month and next year. I want to see God work like He's never worked before. I still believe God's still in the miracle working business. I still believe that He's all we need. I still believe today that He's given us the commandments from the Word of God, how we're to live and how we're to walk and how we're to act. Now, if you would, skip down with me to verse number 15. We're going to read through verse 17. "And He said as they go," He said, "and as they bear the ark, were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water." And then it says, "For Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest." In other words, that means it was full. It wasn't ankle deep like some people like to make you believe. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Some people would have probably said, this don't make sense. Why didn't Joshua just wait till it was the right time of the year? Good night, look at the water. How are we going to get over there? Well, I guess they had forgot how they got out of Egypt. But anyway, no doubt they probably in their mind was thinking, man, it just would have been better. I can tell you why it happened. Because God wanted to show himself to every person that was there that this is God doing this. Friend, every time I pray, every time I stand in this pulpit, I pray that God might show himself. Many of you pray, when you pray for the offering or pray for me, you say, hide the preacher behind the cross. And friend, that's where I want to be today, hid behind the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And I tell you today, Jesus was about to be lifted up. I tell you, he was about to show himself. God was going to work in a way. Somebody said man's inability would furnish the most suitable opportunity for God to display his power. And friend, I'm telling you, when we look at ourselves and see who we are, we understand if God does something through us, it's definitely God doing the work. Because we're feeble and we're unable ourselves to do what needs to be done. But with God, all things are possible if we'll trust him to meet our needs. The background that he set up, the crossing of the river, he wanted them to see that the priests would step in. I want you to notice as they stepped in, the waters rolled up. Here was a real test of faith for the priest. Yes, sometimes even the priest's faith had to be careful that it did not waver. But no doubt it seemed somewhat crazy to wade into the flooded Jordan. But it was about one thing. It was about a step of faith. As we enter in a new year, would you take a step of faith this year and ask God to help you to be all you can be in 2023? Would you ask God to help you to be faithful to the house of God? Would you ask God to help you to be faithful to reading your Bible and praying? Would you be faithful to ask God to help you in everything that you do, that you this year may lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify him in all? Because it's all a step of faith. We can step away or we can step in. And friend, when the priest stepped in the water, God's power activated the faith of the priest. Not only the priest, but the people too. God could have divided the Jordan without the priest, but the priest could not have divided the Jordan without God. I'm glad today that God's power came on the scene. I've been in times of need and not knowing what to do or which way I was going to go. But I'm thankful today that God encouraged me and said, go ahead. I think back about 35 and a half years ago when I, by faith, resigned a church. It was a regular church. I mean, they had a church building and pews. And I accepted the opportunity to come to Thomasville, Georgia and start a church. And many of you was with us when we did that. And I tell you, there were some difficult times. And I'll be honest with you, I guess my faith wavered a little bit because there was times I cried and wept. Because of what I'd done, my daddy said to me, you're crazy. He didn't think that was a wise thing. But my heavenly Father said, it's what I want you to do. And I want to say today, to God be the glory. And I tell you today, I'm not going to start another church. Well, better be careful. I'm not planning on starting another church. But I can tell you this. I still want God to show me his power in 2023. I tell you, I'd love to see this church have the best year it's ever had. And I tell you, it can do it when we have faith in God. Because when the hand of God exists, and it does, his hand is not shortened, his ear, he's not deaf. He knows what we need, and he knows what we're doing. Friend, today we need the presence of God. We need to rely and remain in God's presence. We must rely on God's power. We need God's power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I cannot do it within myself. Number three, we must rest on God's provision. If you would, go back to verse number 7. And notice what he says in verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I got this underlined too, by the way, in case you want to underline it in yours. This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Somebody just say glory right there. I tell you what a blessing to know today the same God that was with Joshua and the people of Israel is the same God I serve today. And I tell you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we put our trust in him and faith in him, he'll meet our need. You see, God was with the saints of old, and he's with us. And friend, I know somebody says, and I used to be guilty of saying, oh, I wish God would work today like he did in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I submit to you today, God does still work today in the New Testament the way he worked in the Old Testament. And even in our lives, it may not be certain circumstances, but day after day, if you're following God and obedient to him, you'll see the miracles of God in your life from day to day. And there's some of you that can stand up this morning and take the rest of the afternoon to tell me what God had done for you. And I'm glad today that we have God's power. And don't think God can't send revival today. I heard somebody say one time, well, you just can't have revival. Well, we plan on having one. We got Tim Thompson coming the end of March. He's a great preacher. I tell you, you ought to plan right now to clear your calendar and make sure that you're here every night. And if we pray, and if we plead, and if we look, and if we seek, I believe we can see revival. Revival is people getting their hearts right with God. When people get their hearts right with God, we'll see people getting saved by the grace of God. I've got a friend who lives in Tallahassee. He's a Presbyterian. And he was talking to me the other day, and I was about to shout. Because, again, I know Baptists and Presbyterians have a little bit of differences. But he said to me, my pastor's been preaching on how we need to be telling people about Jesus. I said, well, hallelujah. I tell you, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, today there's people in this world that are lost and without Christ. And it's our responsibility to tell them that Jesus saved. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. Can I remind you that God can still save souls, but he can still soften hardened hearts. I've ran into some folks that were very, very difficult to deal with as far as salvation. They did not want to hear it. And sometimes you get to the point you say, well, I just guess there's no use. Friend, as long as you got breath and as long as God's alive and he's going to always be alive, there's hope and there's help in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson used to make the statement. He said, Don't never give up on anybody. Just keep on keeping on. Keep praying. Keep going. Keep inviting. Keep asking. And you'll see what God can do. God can still save sinners like you and I if we'll put our faith and trust in him. God can still. Just, you know what? Somebody said, man, that was miraculous, wasn't it? God supplied manna for them in the wilderness. He fed them. He gave them the things that they needed. He provided for them physically. Boy, that'd be great. Walk out and go grocery shopping in the yard, wouldn't it? Just pick up the manna. Well, he don't work that way. But let me ask you something. How many of you missed a meal lately? How many of you don't have anything to eat right now? And if you don't have anything to eat, you need to see me after service because we'll get you some because we work for God. And we'll do whatever we need to do to make sure. But I'll be honest with you. I doubt there's anybody in the building today that could say, I hadn't missed any meals. It might not have been the kind of meal you wanted, but you say, no, I hadn't missed any. You know why? Because God has been supplying your meals. Friend, today, the money to buy them, the job to work to make the money, and all the other things that go along with it, God will provide our needs. And listen to this, God can still mend broken homes. I think today of how so many homes are destroyed by divorce and so many things happen in people's lives and children are they're torn between one family and another family. And yet there's the fact that even in the homes, perhaps they're not turning to God. But I want you to know today, God still has the power. He still has the ability to soften hearts. He still has the ability to change people's lives. We need to learn to live on his provisions and what he has for us. I've already quoted the verse, but he'll supply our needs. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Second of all, we see he will sustain thee. In Psalm 55:22, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Some of you is entering 2023, and you've got the heaviest burden you've ever carried in your life. Friend, I like what the songwriter said. He said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I would say today, and I don't say this to try to get people to make moves just so I can say, boy, we had a pile of people come at the altar today. No, I don't do that sort of thing. But I tell you, it'd be a good day to start this year off to just bring our burdens. And now when you get up, don't take them back with you. Just leave your burdens at the altar and pray for God's help and God's need. Psalm 31 verse 24 said, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, and ye that have hope in the Lord. What a wonderful thought this year that we can provide and we can rest on God's provisions. God, you remember what the psalmist said? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I'm going to tell you, I've been through some lean times in my life. I remember when I went off to Bible school, and I'll not get into all that, but I'm telling you, I left Thomasville with everything I owned in an old 69 station wagon, standard shift on the column, going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and not knowing how in the world I was going to pay to go to school. But I can stand here today and testify that God made sure that I got every bill paid. I never missed a semester. I was there the whole time till I got my diploma. And I'm grateful today because it was the provision of God in my life that got me there. So we must recognize the presence of God. We must rely on God's power. And we must rest on God's provision. But lastly, we must respect God's precepts. Now go look at verse 8 with me. He just told him in verse 7 he was going to do wonderful things. And then he said in verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. I think it's worth attention to note that the people were commanded to follow the priest as far as he went, but no farther. They did not pass him at that point until they were told, until the priest stepped in the water. You see, God's children, like the children of Israel and the priest, have a responsibility to heed and obey what God's words tells us to do. His servants, only while they set forth and honor him, with whom the ark was a figure, his presence, that's when they obeyed and they followed. It's the God of the Word and the Word of God that we owe our allegiance to and our loyalty. I want you to know today, I'm a proud American. I'm thankful today for America, and I'll stand all day long and pledge allegiance. You won't see me sitting down when the flag's being, when it's being given, and the flag, the colors are presented before us, pledging. I'll be standing with the best of them. I love my country. I'm grateful that I was born in America, and I'm grateful for the privilege I have. But I'm going to tell you something even greater. I love that Christian flag over there too, because that Christian flag stands for one Savior that died on a cross for all our sin if we'd put our faith and trust in Him. My loyalty is to America, but my first loyalty is to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to honor Him, to respect Him, to love Him in everything that we do. Some of you may remember a comedian by the name of W.C. Fields. He could make people laugh. I've heard people say they were rolling in the aisle laughing at him. But they said he was chronically unhappy. Even though he could make people laugh, he was an unhappy person. And obviously, I would assume that if a person's unhappy, maybe religion apparently don't play any part in their life. And I'm thinking that must have been what it was in his life. He could make people laugh, but he just wasn't happy himself. But no religion, he wasn't interested. But as he faced the possibility of dying, one day the words came to W.C. Fields, you're not going to make it, you're going to die. And so he began to read the Word of God. And let me tell you something. I know people say, well, I don't want to be a last-minute Christian. Listen, if you got a chance, you better go ahead and take it. Because the fact of it is, if you've got breath, God will still forgive you and give you eternal life. And so W.C. Fields, he gets him a Bible, and he begins to read. They said he began to read over and over, and all through it, day by day, he was reading the Bible. And some of his friends came to him and said, W.C., why is it that all this time that you've give jokes and had a great time, but you never read your Bible till lately. Why are you reading it? And he laughingly said, trying to make another joke, I'm looking for a loophole. I'm looking for a loophole. Can I remind you today, there are no loopholes. There's no room for interpretation or discussion. God meant what he said, and he says what he meant. And friend, today, you don't look for loopholes. You better look for the way, and it's easy. I can give you one verse. I can give you plenty more. But John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts, these are his precepts, concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Friend, only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today for the opportunity we have to serve him. The Israelites were going into a strange territory. You and I, we're going into strange territory. We've never been to 2023 before. Israel had to trust God and what he told him to do and where he told him to go. As we prepare to close out this year and step into a new year, we don't know what the new year will bring, but we need to make sure that God's precepts are our standards. Again, I emphasize to you, get one of those Bible reading charts. I challenge you. Read the Bible through this year and don't see how fast you can read it so you can move on to something else. Read it and let God speak to your heart and it'll change your life. His promises are our stay. Standing on the promises we sang a while ago, I tell you today this book is filled with the promises of God. And I'm going to tell you, God's never failed in one single promise that he's ever made. His power is our strength. Isn't it wonderful today? Somebody said, I can't. But God says, you can. If you'll let me give you the strength you need to be able to accomplish. But then his presence is our sufficiency. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Friend, I want you to know, are you walking with Jesus? In 2023, we don't need to dread the future, but we need to delight in what God's going to do and what he will do in 2023. Let me just say another thing as we close today. Let me just read verse 7 again. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. In verse 5, on tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm telling you, I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it, but it don't do no good to claim it if we don't believe it and have faith enough to trust God to meet our needs. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions that you made. Thank you for our presence. Just as they stayed close to the ark, Lord, we say, as the Scripture tells in the New Testament, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Lord, today, 2022 was a rough year for some people. They went through a difficult time. Their hearts were torn apart. And Lord, today, I pray that you'd help them bring it to the foot of the cross, leave their burdens there, and trust you to meet every need we have. And Lord, we know that nothing's going to happen to us that you don't allow to happen, but help us live in such a manner that we would live lives that were pleasing to you.